Klal Yisrael approach the Yam Suf, the Egyptians behind them, the sea in front of them. And as we know, the great miracle of Kriyas Yam Suf, the sea splitting, and Klal Yisrael's response is, as Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael, at the Shira Zos, they sing a song in praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the drowning of the Egyptians, the salvation of the Jews. And the end of the Shira, we find that Hashem Yimloch, L'olam Va'ed, Hashem shall reign for all eternity. And the Chumash tells us, when Paro's cavalry came with his chariots and horsemen into the sea, and Hashem turned back the waters of the sea upon them, the children of Israel walked on the dry land amid the sea. And then the Chumash tells us, and these are the psukim we'll deal with the Mirtz Hashem today, Miriam the prophetess, Fatikach Miriam HaNeviah Achos Aaron, took her drum in her hand, and all the women went forth after her with drums and with dances, Betupim u'bemecholos. Miriam spoke up to them, Vata'an lahen Miriam, Shirula Hashem ki go'oga'a, Susvarachlo ramah vayam, sing to Hashem for he's exalted, above the arrogant, having hurled horse with its rider unto the sea. So, we're not going to speak about, well, we'll just mention, why is Miriam called Achos Aaron, the sister of Aaron, not the sister of Moshe? So, brought down in the Mefarshim, because she prophesied in Egypt before Moshe was born, when Aaron was still a prophet, and his prophecy was that, Atidai me, my mother will give birth to a child who will be Moshian Shal Yisrael, the Savior. And as the Malbim and others point out, that's why she's going out now and dancing. On a personal level, her nevuah, her prophecy was fulfilled, and it's a personal akaras hatov, gratitude toward Hashem, that she is celebrating, hence, Achod Aaron. That's not going to be our focus today. Focus today is going to be slightly different. We'll begin the questions that the Ner Uziel brings in Source 4. First, why did Miriam encourage the women to dance and sing in the presence of the men? Such licentious behavior deviates sharply from the standards that the Torah sets forth. All right, we'll touch on this question. Second, what message are we to learn from the story of Miriam's song? The Torah does not contain even a single word that does not convey an eternal lesson. Third, why did the women play instruments to express their gratitude to God, while the men only use their voices? And finally, the question that Chaim Moshe asked is grammatically, Vatan lahem Miriam shiru la Hashem. Why does it say Vatan lahem? Masculine. It should be Vatan lahen. Feminine. Who is she talking to? It seems to be a masculine. Those are our questions for today. We'll just add one more. Let's just recap what we have. One, how is it possible for men and women to be singing together? Again, I don't want to focus exclusively on this question. I want to touch on this question. Two, always our major question, what are we supposed to learn from this? The Chumash spends two psukim on the Shira of Miriam. What are we supposed to be learning from this? Three, why did they go out betupim b'becholos with their drums and their dances? And as 2b points out as well, very famous idea, that the women who were assured of the salvation took drums with them when they packed up from Egypt, because they knew there was going to be a chance to use them to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is this inyan that they dafka went out with drums and dances? Well, the men, it was sufficient just to sing. And our fourth question that we mentioned is, why vata'an lahem, to them, masculine, it's, in English it makes no difference, to them, but in Hebrew, lahem versus lahen. And our final question, which is, what exactly was the shira that Miriam sung? Was it the entire Shira? Or was it this Pasuk of Shira Lashem Kigo Ga Susvaracho Ramah Vayam, which heads the Shira Sayam? And if we indeed say it is the entire Shira, why only is this Pasuk mentioned? Why not? And she sang the song. And if we say it wasn't the entire Shira, it was just this Pasuk, so again we have the question of what is it in this Pasuk of Shira Lashem Kigo Ga about the horse and rider falling down and being, you know, drowned in the sea, why is this the pasuk that the women are singing? What is it about this verse that almost encapsulates the entire shira that it's unnecessary to sing anymore? It's going to be this question of why this pasuk, which will be the first half of the shir. In answering that question, we'll also, Mirtz Hashem, answer Vata'an Lahem, the masculine. And then the second part of the shir is going to be, why was it necessary to have this external drums, dances, in order to express their excitement? And obviously, on both levels, the key question is, what are we to learn for our lives? Why is the Chumash spending so much time on these psukim? So I'll begin with the Megid Yosef, which will also answer a question of how can the men and women be singing together, where Rav Saretzkin points out in source number 5 that the men said, Ashira, let us sing, while the women said, Shiru, sing. The women singing was only to encourage the men to come out and sing. Shiru, Vatan Lahem. The women aren't singing in their own right, because it's not midarkei asnius that the woman should sing songs, but rather it's mikoach zirus hanoshim. It was through the encouragement of the woman that the men went out to sing. So according to the Megid Yosef, which would answer a lot of our questions, the women went out expressing the need to sing. They were encouraging the men to sing. So they said one pasuk, implying you men, carry it over, finish it up. We're just telling you this is what needs to be done, not that they actually themselves sang the song. This is not the pshat by most of the mefarshim who say, no, taka, the women did sing. So again, the question becomes, if they did sing, then why was it only this pasuk? So we'll begin with Ms. Kaney Mesponan, who explains. These nashim, these women were nashim sitkanios, were righteous women, who were able to create this feeling of emuna, this feeling of faith, even in Egypt. They understood that Klal Yisrael was going to be saved, and they never allowed yeyush, despondency, to set in. We know it was the women who went out with the mirrors to encourage their men to continue procreating. And this is why Chizkiyah Melech didn't sing Shira when the downfall of Sancheiriv, because he realized it wasn't in his own tzchus, in his own merit. That's why only Moshe Rabbeinu, in whose merit we were saved, could say, Ashira, let us sing. But the women in whose tzchus the miracle of the Geula happened, they were able to sing the Shira themselves. Shiru la Hashem, let us sing to Hashem. It was taka in their own merit that they were able to sing this song. There was something about the women and the women's song which was drastically different than the men's. Let's explain. We move to the next page of Sam Derech. Rav Broidy, the Chevron Rosh Yeshiva, explains, why is it that only Klal Yisrael sang Shira at Kriyas Yamsuf? Would we not have thought that the night of Pesach, Lelit Kadesh Chag, that would have been an opportune time to sing Shira? Would it not have been, as we mentioned last week, the miracle of the Kanfei Nisharim, that they were carried on eagle's wings, and they covered 120 mil in less than 18 minutes? Would that not have been enough to sing Shira? Why is it it's only after the downfall of the Egyptians, Sus v'Rachva, Rama v'Yam, horse and rider, drowned in the sea, that only now Klal Yisrael sings Shira? So the Samterach points out that this gives us a sense into what Shira is about. As we say every morning, Shira Chadasha Shimchu Geulim. It was a new song that they sang. What is Shira? So he says in the arrow in source 9, Shira Perusha Tziruf Sharishamim Umarot. Shira is a collection of experiences, a collection of impressions. It is a number of sounds, a number of voices, a number of notes that come together. And only when you have the entirety of the piece can you really appreciate the beauty of the piece and the beauty of the music. He brings here a story of once a, I'm sure it's happened more than once, a conductor was leading a concert of over 100 musicians, and one musician was off key, and he put down his stick. He couldn't handle it, because when you're talking about music, it has to be the beauty, is the entirety of the musical piece, the entirety of the orchestra in sync, in harmony, playing together. And that is why, when you just experience the Esser Makos, that's beautiful, but it's not the entire piece. Coming to Sukkos al Kanfei Nesharim is beautiful. It's not the entire piece. But when Klal Yisrael saw how Sus v'Rochvo Rama v'Yam, how the horse and the rider fell into the sea, and as Rashi points out, on Taluka Fer B'Mayim Adirim, that every single rider fell in the way appropriate to the way they treated a Jew. Some sunk immediately, some had to bop up and down, right? There were different imageries, like lead, like stone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished each and every one of the cavalrymen as was deserving in the way they treated the Jews. If they were particularly harsh, then they died a more harsher type of death. If they were more had more rachmanis, had more mercy, they died a faster death. When Klal Yisrael saw, they were able to pinpoint, that was this Egyptian who did this to me. They saw the way different Egyptians died. They saw the entirety of the picture, because what they saw was not only the destruction of the Egyptians. They didn't only see Gvuras Hashem, the strength of Hashem, they saw something much deeper than that. They saw Hashgacha Pratit, even retroactively. They saw that Hashem was with them the entire time. They saw that when you thought it was Hester Panim, you thought it was God concealing His face, and that God was allowing these Egyptians to beat them up, and God was as if not on the scene. No! They now see in retrospect how the entire picture fits into place like a perfect puzzle piece. And Hashem was exactly going to punish and going to give retribution to every single person who deserved it. That is the masterpiece. That is seeing the whole picture. That is the Shira Chadasha, the new awareness, the new song that they were able to sing. It was, in the language in 11, Rak az yechola livkoa mipiem, only now could burst forth from their mouth, Shira Shabbat sorfu be'ofen male, the picture of the song in its full way, umushlam, kolat slilim v'amarot shavru aleihem, all that happened to them. Shira ha'kolelot ashkachad v'anagat Hashem yisparach v'chol gvanah, seeing Hashem and His Hashgacha Pratit in all of its manifestations. That was the Shira that Klal Yisrael were able to see. They were able to see so clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, not only Yeminecha Hashem, the Dari Bakoach, Yeminecha Hashem, Tiratz Oyev. You're able to see the ability of the right and the left, the ability of the love as well as the strength. If that is true of Klal Yisrael, of the entirety of the Jewish people, the women specifically had a different understanding, a different approach to this entire song. And the women's song had a varying theme than the men's song. Let's explain. The Leif Tahor, in source number 12, brings down the Emek Bracha in the third paragraph, where he says, when you're going to sing a shira, a song for a miracle, sarach bei tarte, you need two different things. One is gvuras Hashem b'shleimus, you need to be able to have seen the strength of Hashem, the koach of Hashem in its entirety, v'gam hatavot Hashem shiyeh hatava shleima, and to see the full goodness that Hashem has done for you. Those are the two components of a song. To be able to see Hashem's hand and tables to see Hashem's goodness. And that's why you have, in both parts of the Shira, you have the beginning, Shira Lashem ki go'o ga'a, that Shinit Gaya la Gaim, that Hashem was even more powerful than those who were powerful. And in that way, Sus v'rachvo rama v'yam, drowning the horse and the rider, that was clearly the hand of God. And that is the Gvuros Hashem, the power of God. And then the next pasuk of Aziv Zimratka Vahili Yeshua are the Tavot Hashem, are the goodness of Hashem. And therefore, Zeke Levan Vehu, the rest of the Shira, let's go and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is indeed on the pasuk in Tehillim, Vani Bechastecha Batachti, I, in Hashem's kindness, have had faith. Yagel libi b'shuasecha, I will rejoice in His salvation. So there is, when do I sing Ashiru Lashem, ki gamal alai, when Hashem has done a miracle for me, as well as when you have Yagel libi b'shuasecha, when you have the Yeshua's, the salvations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, continues the Netziv by saying, the din of Hodah ain't sarichba elotovat Hashem greda. V'shayach lo dora lo tova av kodem kabalata tova. V'nimsa shekadei lashir shira binyan tovot Hashem v'grot Hashem v'zeh mitgalei deyanes. Before a miracle happens, even though you're promised a miracle, that Hashem will do good things for you, if you don't see it, you can't sing Shira. You can only sing Shira when you've seen Hashem's goodness and Hashem's strength. And that's why Klal Yisrael wait till after Shira Sayam to sing Shira on both. However, the women, the end of 14, Achein Hanashim Sitkanios Hu Shayu Bat Hayu Bituchot Hashem Oselam Nisim, the women who came out with the drums out of Egypt, who knew Hashem was going to do for them miracles, they had this feeling of Hakara Satov. They really had to thank Hashem for the goodness He's done for them, even before the miracle of the sea. Because for them, the reality of God's kindness was so real to them, they didn't need Hashem to show it. But you don't sing Shira until you have two components, the goodness and the gvura and the strength. But technically, the women could have sang Shira as soon as the night of Egypt happened, because they felt it was real to them, Hashem's kindness. They didn't need Hashem, so to speak, to prove it, to see the horse and the rider, and to see the Hashgachat Hashem, and to see that Hashem has been with them. The women felt it. The women had emunah, b'schut nashim shizkani yosnigalu of Sein Mitzrayim. In the merit of the righteous woman, we were redeemed. The women were on that level. But the halacha is that you can only sing Shira when you've seen the Gvuros Hashem. So they had a way to Kriyas Yamsuv to see the miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when they sang Shira, they only really sang Shira on Sus V'Racho Ramah V'Yam, on the Gvuros Hashem, because that is all that was Mechadesh to them. That was all that was new to them. They didn't need to speak about God's goodness and kindness, because that was something that didn't become revealed now. It was part and parcel of them. So why are the women, unlike Klal Yisrael, just singing one line? Because this is the one line that they are showing as a newness and appreciation. This is the line that is the impetus to sing Shira. But that level of Shira they were on way before, and they don't need to bring that out now. And that is why, Vata'an lahem lashon zachar, it's as if the women are saying to the men, 15, de Miriam ramza bazel la nashim, sha nashim einam tzricho la mirat alziv zimrat ka, kedei lomar shira. What is creating the need to sing Shira now? Not the whole Shira, just one line. She's saying to the men, what you've just realized now, the goodness of Hashem, we felt all along. Hence, the drums are the symbol of this reality. All we need is one line. And that one line of the Shira, which says it all, we've now seen Gvuras Hashem, and this is what we are celebrating, what we have been feeling all along. Along these lines, the Drash Mordechai, Rav Mordechai Druk, in source number 16, brings down this idea of the Chasam Sofer, where he says in the Da'at in 16, the Be'emes Gulas Yisrael Haita B'Schus HaNashim, truth to be told, we know that the redemption from Egypt was in the merit of the woman. Avalohi Giyas Chutam Lirot Gam B'Mapalat Mitzrayim. But their schus allow them to leave Egypt, their merit, but not necessarily to see. Their merit didn't allow them to see the downfall of the Egyptian. That's why she only sang on the downfall of the Egyptians. This is something that was part of the equation. She's turning to the Malchei Asharis, the angels, and explaining why too they have a right to sing a song. Because the angels say, I understand the men have a right to sing a song. Because they didn't have any merit to be redeemed. But you women had merit to be redeemed. Why are you singing a song? We should sing first. And she said, no, we had merit to leave, but we didn't have merit. We had merit to even have the Yamsuf split, but we didn't have merit to be able to see the downfall of our enemy. And therefore, we have the right to sing. And what are we singing? We're singing on that which was added and extra, not based on what we've done. Shiru LaHashem ki go'o ga'ah. Let's thank Hashem. Susu rachvo. Ramah Vayam, that the horse and the rider fell into the sea. And that is why the women are part of Hemayu Boso and Aves. That's why they're part of the Dalit Kosos, the four cups of wine, because they are very much part of the miracle. So far, my friends, we've explained, this is the most difficult of the three that we're going to do, of why only this Pasuk. So answer number one is, which has two parts, answer number one is, the women were on such a high level of belief, of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The women were on a level that they had that understanding. They're the ones who had that faith in Egypt. They took out the drums. So for them, the Shira Chadasha, the new song, wasn't to sing on the God's kindness and greatness. That they already experienced, that they've already expressed. The song is on the Gvuros Hashem, is on the power of Hashem. That was the Chiddush. That was not in their own merit, as the Chasam Sofer said. So the Ashira Lashem Kiga, oh God, it's one Pasuk. This is what was new for them. These are the Gvuros Hashem that they're going to sing Shira. And those dramas that they sing with is the physical manifestation and representation of these Nashim Sitkanios, of these righteous women. We'll just add here, as the Leif Tahor notes in 15, that the Be'er b'schus Miriam shamra shira alamayim. The Be'er, the well, was in the schus of Miriam, who sang this song on the well. So, what was the greatness that the Be'er was in the schus of Miriam? Did not the women, the men, sing as well? But rather, Miriam Amra Shira Rak Al Hamayim, Al Gvuros Hashem Shenasu B'mayim. The Be'er was in the schus of a woman is because she only sang about the water. She didn't sing about all of God's kindnesses in the past, because for them that wasn't a chiddush, that wasn't a wow! That was understood. They every time it happened, they appreciated it, they were aware of it. The newness was on the Be'er, and this on the water. And this is the greatness of the women, that women are keyed in, they're sensitive, they're aware. This is the way the women, the Bina Yaseira, that women are built, literally, that they have that sensitivity of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence at all times. And that's why their Shira is much shorter than men, because they have been aware at all times of God's kindness. The Chiddush here is the Sufer Achva Rabamayam, the Gvuros Hashem, which they now witness, which wasn't in their schools. That's what they were singing. More than that, they've already expressed as it was happening, they're able to be keyed into Ashkachas Hashem, and that is why we know, just to add, the idea of Ima, mother, the Hebrew word for mother, is related to the idea of Emunah, of faith. It's because the mother is the one that brings this Emunah, this natural faith, to the children. And that's the job of the mother, that you don't need to have that aha moment, but rather to try as much as we can to live with it at every single moment in our lives, to appreciate all that Hashem has done for us. And it's only when it's out of the ordinary, the Gvuros Hashem, that we have to open up Shirul Hashem Kiko Oga'a. That's aspect number one of this decisive dance. Aspect number two brings us back to the first page, level number two in this first part, is the Minchas Michal, and it's quoted over and over again in Sefer after Sefer quotes this idea. I just chose it from here only because in the most succinct way of writing it, but it's found in a lot of the Sfarim. Why just this Pasuk? So one may argue, he says, Achein b'megama u'tachlid hotziyah, you may say that in leaving Egypt you can't compare the men to the women, because the whole point of leaving Egypt, as we spoke about a few weeks ago, was to serve Hashem on this mountain. And the men are obligated in Torah, not the women. So the women may say, our job is to raise our families. How can you compare us to the men who are learning Torah? So why should we be singing a Shira to thank Hashem for taking us out? The taking us out is really for the men. We're only secondary. To which Miriam responds, Vatan lahem Miriam. Miriam responds to them, no. Senarena benos Yisrael, sus verachva, rama vayam, the asterisk in seven. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu drowned the Egyptians, he drowned the horse and the rider at the same time. You may ask, ma susim shianshu, what did the poor horses do that they should get punished? But rather, since they were the ones who helped the riders, and they were the ones who, through them, they chased after the Jews, so they also get punished. So if this is true, that the enabler, the supporter, is punished, how much more so the enabler, the supporter, gets rewarded. So, she's saying to the women, you see the interconnection between the rider and the horse. Not that we're comparing women to horses, don't get me wrong here. But rather, it's the idea of one who supports the other, and the rider is very limited without the horse. The man is very limited without the woman. It's the woman who enables the man to be able to learn. Obviously, women learn as well. That's a separate issue. But the focus of a woman creating a home that her children and her family, and a woman who's not yet married, a woman who's creating an environment and a community for those around her, to enable them, to help them, to support them in any ways that she may be able to do so in the learning of Torah, in the commitment to Torah, in the enabling of Torah, this is what she gets rewarded for. And this is what Miriam told the women, let's go out and sing, because our job is such an important job, and our role is a primary role. And don't for any moment think that it is just a secondary role and not of importance. So why does she sing just this pasuk? Because this is a description of, if this is the punishment, can you imagine the reward? And this is to encourage the women on their journey toward Har Sinai. The third approach is a very novel one, I must say, from the Sefer Gan Na'ul 17a, where he explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu is taking, when Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to get Klai Yisrael out of the Yam Suf, the pasuk tells us, Vayasa Moshe. Moshe had to drag them out of Yam Suf. Why? Because the Mitzrim had put on their horses, 17b, B'tachshitei Zahav, Itram, She'itru Mitzrayim b'suseim b'atachshitei zahav v'kesev avanim tovot. That the Egyptians had put all this gold and silver and fine diamonds and stones on their horses. And when the horses drowned, all of this jewelry got washed up. And this is, in fact, the Bizas Hayam was even greater than the Bizas Mitzrayim, the booty that they took. And this is how Klai Yisrael became wealthy. So when they're singing Shira Sayam, Shira Lashem Kigoga, Sus Virachva, Ramah Vayam, what are they thanking Hashem for? Not just the Gvuras Hashem, the power of Hashem for drowning, but thank you, Hashem, for creating this reality that we're able to have all of this wealth. We're able to have all of this wealth, to which the men have to continue in singing, because this Bizas Mitzrayim, this wealth was their undoing. It was from their wealth. Again, Gan Na'ul is Chaim Menachem Van from Lakewood, New Jersey. This wealth is what led them to their demise, because we know Dizahav Egel HaZahav, it was because of this wealth that they used it to build the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf. So if you're just going to sing Shira on the money, so the money was what messed them up. So the Shira has to be a much longer Shira, which has thanking Hashem for other things, not just the wealth. The asterisks were the circle of Al HaNoshim Shelo Chatu Be'Egel, but the women who we know did not use their money for the sin of the golden calf. Rather, they used their money for the Mishkan, for the tabernacle. V'lo Natnu Atzahav Shelahem Lasiyat Ha'Egel Rat L'Nedavos HaMishkan. They only used it for the tabernacle. Im Kain, therefore, Ha'osher Hayalahem Rak L'Tova. The wealth for them was for the good, and they didn't fall into the sin. So therefore, they could sing Shira on the Bizas Hayam. All they have to do is thank Hashem. Shira L'Hashem, Ki Goga, Sus V'Recho Rav Hayam. Thank you, Hashem, for all this money, period. It doesn't have to be couched in any other terms, because their money was indeed used for the proper thing. And that's why V'Tan Lahem in 19, Lashon Zachar, She'anta Gam La'Nashim, it was as if Miriam was answering the men, L'Rmoz Lahem Tochacha, to give them rebuke, Shelo Yavo Lidei Aveira Mirov Osher, She'ishpia Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Achshav. Don't misuse this money now. Be able to take this gift and use it properly. So my friends, three ideas, three insights into what women are. And this, I've said it over and over again, and Emir Hashem, I have the schluss to say it many more times. The godless of learning Parashat Shavua. The godless. Have you ever heard of Yitzchak Bernstein Alav Shalom's tapes from England? He would say you could learn everything from Parashat Shavua. Parashat has everything in it. The godless of Parsha Shavua, he would cover a lot of the Parsha. I'm not on his level. For me, I can cover, with Hashem's help, one nekuda, one pasuk, one idea. But you see how one pasuk, one idea, one nekuda, is worlds, insights, Torah. It's miniyam, it's the depth of the sea, and we're not even touching even a quarter of it. It's fantastic. It's energizing. It's amazing. We should go out and sing. And we'll talk about that soon. That idea. But I'm not there yet. I'm not, I can't jump to the gun. Let me slow down. Hold your horses, as we would say in this year. Why Shira L'Hashem Ki Goga? Answer number one is the women who already believed, the women who were tuned in, were waiting just for the full Gvura of Hashem to be able to sing Shira. But they were in tuned and in touch until now. And it was really only that Nekuda that they had to thank Hashem for, because everything else was in their schus, was in their merit. What was not in their merit is what they thanked Hashem for. And this is the greatness of the women, Emuna, Aim. They're ones who are plugged in, who are able to see the Bina Yisera. They're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu so clearly. Level number two, the women are the supporters. Don't think that's a secondary role. You see the role of the horses, how the horses get punished, how much more so how the women will be rewarded. And the third level is the Shirul Hashem Ki Go Ga'a, is thanking Hashem for the Bizas Mitzrayim, for the wealth that they got. The men misused the wealth, they had to sing more things to thank Hashem. The women who did not misuse the wealth, the women who have their heads on straight, right? These are the women who didn't sit a chayda egel, didn't sit a chayda meraglim. These are the women who are able just to say one line. That is sufficient. Vatan lahem. She's turning to the men in rebuke. She's turning to the malchei hasharis and putting them into their place. Now let's talk about the second level, the second aspect of why was it necessary? What is the idea of the drums and the dances? We touched on it. That is a concretization of their emuna. Let's take a look at a number of levels. Again, if we had three levels on the first, let's have three levels on the second question. The Ze'ev Yitraf in source 20 and 21, through a very long essay, speaks about that the night of Yitzia Mitzrayim, the Lel Hitkadesh Chag, was a night very much reminiscent of the Geula Hasida. Leilos Nasim Kiyomim Kechashecha Ka'ora. The night becomes like the day, the darkness like the night, and that is why, while most of our rituals are daytime rituals, Yitzia Mitzrayim is very much a nighttime event. Because the day was like the night. Because in the future we know that the day and the night, those the two luminaries are going to have the same strength, and there's going to be this parallel between men and women as well. Likewise, on Shvi Shel Pesach, when they stood by the Yamsuf, and Hashem says, you know, Mati Takelai, it's not about tefillah, just go into the water. Hashem Yilachem Lachem Vatem Tachrishu, and you'll walk in, and Hashem will fight, and you'll be silent. This is the idea of the night of Geulat Mitzrayim. This Kriyas Yamsuf was a taste of the future Geula. It was a taste where Vata'an Lahem, the men and the women, reached the same level. Mipnei, double underline in 21, She Yeshuas Hayam Sholetet Ba Hanagat Gula Lel Shemarim Vanagat Gula Chornali Mota Mashiach. Miriam Hanavia understood that the moment of Kriyas Yamsuf was like the moment of the midnight of Yitzia Mitzrayim. It's like the moment of Chatzot, that there was something going on here. Vata'an lahem, she responds to them, that the women and the men reach some level of equality. What does this mean? So I'd like to look at a very fascinating piece from Ner Uziel. Obviously, there's a lot more to say about this piece, but I don't want to. I want to present it, because I think sometimes it's good to think something over, to chew it over. As my students, who are not virtual students, know, that I oftentimes, when they ask a question, will just sing a niggun. Because the question itself, the idea itself, sometimes needs to just sit. And I think this piece is such an example. He says, in recent years, 22, many attempts have been made to prove that the Torah regards men and women as equal. Yet no one can deny that the Torah forbids women to offer testimony in a Jewish court of law. One cannot seriously claim that men and women are equal in their status in the face of this ruling. Why indeed does the Torah consider a woman to have a lower halachic status than a man? When they were first created, Adam and Chava were two aspects of a single unified being. Male and female, he created them. They were inseparable, and therefore equal elements of being called Adam. And even at this early stage, Adam's male component, the Ish, differed from the female component. And the two letters that are different, Aleph and Shin, are the same, are the Yud and the Hay. Now listen to this idea. I never heard it before. I found it very fascinating. The two different letters, right? So Ish, Isha, man, and woman are made up of the same letters. Just write it out so that all of us are on the same page. Let's see if we can see this. Ish is Aleph Yud Shin. Isha is Aleph Shin He. The Aleph and the Shin are the same. The Yud and the He are different. In the Ish, the letter Yud is found in the middle of the word. The different letter by Isha, the Shin is found the isha, the hey, is found at the end of the word. So while ish, the different letter is found in the middle, isha, it's found at the end. And here, the Ner Uziel, just to find my papers again, says this is the difference. He says, the bracket in 22, the yud of ish is located within the word, while the hey of isha is located on the outer part of the word. The placement of these letters defines the divergent spiritual essence of each of them. It tells us that man's spiritual role is internal, the yud is found inside, while woman's is external. And he says, I've explained elsewhere, that the man's job was the mystical aspects of divine worship. That was the patriarchs. The matriarchs endeavored to translate these lofty concepts into the practical language of our corporal reality. Thus, the accomplishments of the patriarchs in the mystical realm of eternal reality were complemented and actualized by the accomplishments of the matriarchs in the practical realm of external functioning. That is why the serpent, who knew this, was able to get to Chava, who's more external, to then get to Adam, who's more internal. And God punished in 23 Chava in a manner that was appropriate to her sin, because she failed to manage her responsibility relative to the physical realm of the universe. In accordance with God's decree, she lost control of the reins of power over the physical realm, and they were placed in Adam's hands. This is reflected in the statement of, your passion will be to your husband, and he will dominate you. Prior to the sin, the externally dominant strength of the female nature held mastery over the physical reality. As a consequence of her sin, woman forfeited this power which had made her equal in status to man. This is why women may not give testimony in Jewish court of law. When Chava ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, she introduced the notion of sin into the world. God had permitted man only to look at this fruit and all represent it. But when Chava sinned by internalizing an experience that was intended to be purely external, through this act she effectively sabotaged her own nature. And from that moment on, woman lost her ability to maintain a state of total objectivity toward external events. Now, having said this, and that is why this lack of objectivity, this tendency to internalize external experiences, is what renders a woman's testimony invalid in Jewish court. And this idea, we know that women do indeed tend to internalize much more external events. Speak to any man and woman after a very charged event. A woman will be flooded, and a man will just, you know, very often, obviously it's a generalization, be able to move on. Based on this principle, now we're answering our question on the first level of the second level. The Klei Yechor explains the reason Miriam and the woman were permitted to sing and dance in the presence of the men at the shores of the sea. The experience of the miracles at the sea had elevated the Jewish people, men and women alike, to the spiritual level of Adam and Chava prior to the sin. In this state, the destructive influence of the serpent's venom had no power. Human passions were directed only to Hashem, and there was no negative spiritual consequences to men and women engaging in song and dance in such close proximity. This is the state the Jewish people regained in the Messianic era, when they will regain the spiritual strength Adam and Chava possessed before they sinned. At that time, women will once again be equal to men, in keeping with their natural tendencies. In going back to the sin of Adam and Chava at this moment, the women use external stimuli, the drums, the dances, to achieve and express their level of prophecy, while the men's prophetic experience was manifest from within through their chanting to Hashem and meditating on His awesome power. So the first idea of why these external stimuli, it was a long introduction to get to our punchline, but we got to it. The answer is very simply, is that women went back to the Chava pre-Eitz HaDaat experience, and the strength of women is in that ability to take the external world and to be able to be in control of that external world. And hence, women were able to take their song and dance and take that strength and be able to utilize it to praise Hashem. That's answer one. Answer two is the Sefer Aros of Zeta Lepstein, who says, quoting Rav Chaim of Volozhin, of what a chidushei Torah are. Sometimes learning a piece you've never seen before, but sometimes a chidushei Torah is something that afilu yada v'nevdu v'chazru v'nitchadshu etzlo. Something you had heard, but forgotten, and then you heard it again. And you get so excited about it again. That's also chidushei Torah. You know, I have this frustration. Is, you know, I will have taught something, let's say, 8, 9 years ago. I have women who've been with me for many years. And then I'll repeat that idea that we did 8, 9 years ago again. And they'll be so excited, wow! And I'm sitting there so frustrated, like, don't you remember I taught you this 8 or 9 years ago? I don't say that. I've learned. I used to, but I've learned to calm down. And then this Rav Chaim Volozhin, it was just like such a wake-up call in my face. Okay, they heard it 8, 9 years ago and they were excited about it. But if they're excited about it again, allow the excitement. Feel the excitement. Don't dampen it by saying, oh, you heard it already. This feeling of excitement, of newness, is of something you may have already heard, is what Yiddishkeit is all about. And this is why she's called Achot Aaron, the Nevi'ah. Yes, she was a prophetess when she prophesied that her mother was going to have a child. But now she reaches a new level of prophecy. Let's learn inside, in 26, the bracket, the asterisk with the circle. Anashim ha-shvachot shayu rachok merok gadlus Hashem chasadav. These women, the shvachos, who were so far from seeing Hashem's glory, nifkechu einayim, open their eyes. Vafilu Miriam atzmai gisha shinu li tov l'aliyah. Miriam herself, at the crossing of the sea, felt something very powerful. She became a new nevi'ah, madrega acher, at a different level, not like the one that was before. And she said to herself, Lo eit li shtok, it's not time to be silent. Atat zarich li chazek l'maisa. I'm feeling, we're all feeling so energized, so spiritual. It's now time to me to do something l'maisa. Lo must speak b'sechel. It's not enough to only intellectually say, wow, we feel Hashem's presence. Zeke li banveyu, but by dying with our hands, with our goof, with our body. And that is why the women took these drums in their hands, these tambourines in their hands, and they took their legs, which the legs are the farthest part from the heart and the head, and they were able to sing and dance to Hashem. What the women are showing here, and it's such an important idea, that when you experience something exciting in your Torah learning, in your Avodas Hashem, in your understanding of life, enable your entire being to respond to this. It was as if they couldn't keep it in. They were bursting. So not only Shiru LaHashem, let us sing. That's only one component. Let's dance. Let's use our hands. Let's use our feet. And this is Ro'im Anu Bazeh, 27, the end. Godo Chashivus Chazara V'amaka B'yidios HaYishenos. We should never say, I learned this already, I know this. Learn something again, because now your knowledge will be so much deeper. The goal is to become a goal like Miriam, where it's newness. And this fits in so nicely on what we said on the first level. For the women, knowledge of Hashem was real to them. They felt it. They were connected. Emunah, aim. But although they felt it and although they knew it, this experience, and it was dafka the women who are so keyed in, they said, it's a new dimension. It's something we've never actually experienced before. We just can't sit back and say, wow, that was a nice intellectual or emotional experience. They were driven to move. They were driven to do something. And that, my friends, is the lesson that this section teaches us. That when we need, as well, to be able to respond, when we are energized, or we come up with a chiddush. Rabbi Miller, the Shabbat Shir, it is external actions, quoting Rav Dessler's, which fix and consolidate in the heart any intellectual recognition and spiritual inspiration that a person may experience. If one does not fix these things immediately in the form of a physical action, the inspiration is liable to bear no fruit, and to remain barren. It is not only that, unless brought to fruition, feelings of inspiration will dissipate. That we know. But any emotion or excitement which is not acted upon will be detrimental to a person. Our sages compare one whose knowledge exceeds his action to a tree with many branches and few roots. In the face of a strong wind, the tree could easily succumb. The more branches possessed by a tree, the more liable it is to fall. The extra branches do not add to the security of tree. They only place it in a more precarious position. Our job is that when you hear words of Torah that stimulate you, 31, with emotions, new ideas that make a profound imprint on a person, we have to realize that without anchoring the inspiration with a physical action, that which one heard not only does not bear fruit, it is detrimental to one's spiritual being. The initial acquisition of knowledge is termed v'yadata hayom. Then v'ashevota l'vavecha, you have to do something with it. You have to allow it to become yours. Having actualized in 32 intellectual knowledge through spiritual labor, he has succeeded in transforming part of his inner being, undergoing a rebirth. It's the novelty which creates the greatest impressions. Mere excitement in hearing new Torah insights is insufficient. It could even be dangerous. Indeed, continuous building and inner development is required, both of which result from the words which have been heard and both of which generate a perpetual feeling of newness. That's why when we go to a shir, and usually, in every shir, there's one aha moment. I know it in learning. There's an aha moment. I never heard that one before. That aha moment, like the Ish and Isha for me was an aha moment. Don't just say aha. Say, okay, now what? If in Isha, the hay is at the end of the world and it's external. That's where her kochos hanefesh are. So then let me invest more in my external part of who I am. This is what we've spoken about. Rav Nachman says, turn your Torah into tefillah. Daven to Hashem. How can I implement what I've learned? That is our challenge. Because otherwise, we're just having more branches that are just going to be more cumbersome on a tree. Develop the roots. Do something with it. Plant. And that's the godless of learning. It's not just an intellectual experience. It becomes an emotional transformation. I've changed. I'm doing something. I'm implementing it into my life. Last week we spoke about the God gifts wraps opportunities for us. So a woman emailed me a short story. She said later that day she was going shopping, and there was a lot of traffic, and she couldn't find parking. And then they got a perfect parking space. And her friend turned to her and said, "Wow, thank you, Hashem, for gift wrapping this parking place. Take the idea, implement it into one's life." That's the goal. And that's why Rav Avigdor Miller notes that one major difference between us and Adam and Chava, as we have mentioned, is hergels, customs, habit. When you open a sitter, the words are tremendously inspiring. A Gentile female author named George Eliot writes that she once walked into a Jewish synagogue in London. She sat in the women's section and opened a sitter, and she was tremendously inspired. Then she looked down at the Jews and wondered whether they realized what they have. Yeshaya Navi said, "Vayan nigasha am hazeh, for these people have come close to me." Jewish people come close to us then, and they stood up in Shorn Esrei. Befiv usfatav kibduni, they've honored me with their mouth and with their lips. They said wonderful, noble, inspiring words. But libam rachok mimeni, their heart and mind was far away from me. Yeshayahu didn't mean to say that they were davening without knowing what they were saying, as we sometimes do. They didn't daven without kavanah. It was impossible in those days to say words without thinking. There's no question that they thought about the peirush hamilim, about the words they were saying. But that type of thinking was not enough. They weren't excited over the tefillah. They thought about the words in a habitual way. We're obligated to use these words that were prescribed especially to inspire us to the greatness we could acquire by saying them. The second level, my friends, what was the greatness of Miriam? What do we learn from this story? We learn that when you are inspired by something, take the entirety of your being, hence the drums, hence the dancing, and be able to express it, not just up here, but allow it to become a reality in your life. So let's summarize what we've seen till now, my friend, and end with one final idea, one of my favorites. And even though we've seen it before, we'll be as excited as saying this idea over and over again, Ritz Hashem. Ashiru Lashem ki gol gasus v'rach v'ram avayam. Why this line? This is the Gvuras Hashem. This is something that wasn't on their schus. They held on to Emunah. Level 2, they were the model of the rider and the horse, the model of the men and women supporting in Torah. And level number 3, they didn't misuse the Biza Sayam, the wealth that was found on the horses, so they were able just to thank Hashem for the wealth without having to add anything else. The second level, why the dances and the tambourines, the drums. Level 1 is because a woman's role is external. She came back to that level of Chava, the Isha, the Hey on the outside, the Ish, the Yud in the middle. And she was able to utilize those external stimuli to be able to serve Hashem. Aspect number 2, she was excited. And when you get excited over again, she's a Nevi'ah all over again. What the women are seeing, they know it, but they're excited all over again. You can't contain it. Dancing, tambourines, full force. And the third idea, my friends, the third beautiful idea is Rav Shraga Grossberg, Panavichel Tzeirim, Dat Shraga. What was the whole idea of these women taking out these drums? It's really a reflection of the equanimity of these women. While everything is turning upside down, and the whole Yetziat Mitzrayim and everyone's in a tumult, they don't lose their composure. And perhaps this is one of the reasons that the Torah specifies that the women took out these drums. Lulam Teinu, here's the key line, 37. Shivachol Hamatzavim, the women teach us in all aspects of life, in all vanisibot, circumstances. Adam Sarich Lishmor Shavas Nafsho, you have to maintain your composure. Lo Lihitbabel Velo Letzeit Mikidro Be'et HaTapuchov V'Shinui Matzav. You may have, and we all have, curveballs that come into our lives. You can't lose it. You have to be able to ride the waves. You have to be able to tap into whatever energy is found at any given time. And that, my friends, is not only the message of the Tupim, it's the message of the Mecholot as well. Zichor Yitzchazkut, a number of places, 38, he says, our lives are about Ashira Lashem B'chayai. We know the Shabbos is called Shabbos Shira, the Shabbos of song. And this idea of song is really what our lives are about. Ashira LaHashem b'chayai, let me sing to Hashem in my life. Etzem ha-matzavim shel chayim sheli hem shira LaHashem. All the experiences of my life are really a song to Hashem. Havoda yishira LaHashem v'chol ha-matzavim ha-mitchashim b'chol rega. And all the newness and all the different variations of my life, hem ha-klaim zemer shel nigun ha-nifla hazeh. Different situations that come are like different musical instruments. Allah Hashem b'chayai, let me praise Hashem in my life. When a Jew knows that every situation that comes to him is Kabbalat Olmochut Shamayim, is receiving the yoke of heaven. One's children, the people one's house, the people one's surrounded with, the people one's worked with. All of these are part of my orchestra. Klei Zemer L'Nigun HaChaviv Hazeh, a part of this beautiful composition that I'm making, Zamrula Lokenu Zameru, Sharim Shira Tsumam Niflal Shabbos Barach. My life is about a song. Shabbos Shira is such a powerful message that when things happen to me, I realize that they're part of my big composition of my song to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Source 40, and this is what Chazal say, that in the future Hashem is going to make a circle of the tzaddikim will dance in a circle around Hashem. Why a circle? What is the mecholos? Dance, literally a circle. Betupim u'mecholos. The circle we know is equidistant to the center, that every tzaddik is going to stand equidistant to Hashem. But on a deeper level, a person knows ki yudio ved Hashem yitbarach b'vchinas machol, that we need to serve Hashem not only through shira, not only through the tupim, but through mecholos, through dancing, that wherever we are, in whatever in life circumstances. We are equidistant to the center. We may not want to be where we are, but this is where Hashem has placed me, and I am as equal to any place that I would want to be. In every place you find the Hashem Kivinu Lo. Wherever I am, I have the ability to connect myself with Hashem. As we say every morning, Yahalu Shmo B'machol. I praise Hashem in a dance wherever I am. I know this is an opportunity to praise Hashem. And we could add, we end B'tof V'chinor Yisamru Lo in the drums and in the kinor, in the harp. I praise you, Hashem. The tof is more of a wild, more of an excitable instrument. The kinor, the harp, is much more softer. Whether I have the more dramatic moments of my life or the softer moments of my life, Yahalu Shmo B'machol, I come to praise you, Hashem. The women going out with the tupim and macholo is setting for us the decisive dance for life. That wherever we are, this is our opportunity to praise Hashem. This is our opportunity to come close to Hashem. We are part of a larger picture. We are part of a larger orchestra. And I'll end with the time that we don't have. Remember, recently, meeting with a woman, a Gioris, a convert, was having a lot of different challenges in life. And she said to me, I just can't go on. I just am meeting obstacle after obstacle. And in the course of conversation, she was telling me she enjoys going to the concerts, to going to hear orchestras. And I said to her, keep that model in mind, that everyone in the orchestra has a different instrument and plays different notes and plays different sound. That, you know, the trombone is different than the flute, right? They make different noises. Our lives have different sounds, but each one is music to Hashem. And we have to be able to take our life situations, Yahalu Shmo B'machol, and be able to praise Hashem, and to be able to have this decisive dance that wherever I am, I know this is where God wants me to be. And I will have the passion and the enthusiasm to see what I can learn from these events and always hold on to that model of the woman, of Emunah, of Aim, of knowing that Hashem has put me exactly here and there's no better place for me to be.